This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that made us to be from the followers of Islam and the followers of the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we are, we come together every Thursday night to talk about the great seerah of the great Prophet and the great man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we were talking about the great battle of the Battle of Badr. And this is one of the greatest battles in Islam, which was the first major and main battle the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had participated in. It's not the first battle, but the first major battle. And we heard how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and supported the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum when there were only 313 facing an army that nearly three times their size, over 800 fighters from the people of Quraysh and their allies. And last week we were talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended down from the heavens over 1,000 angels led by Angel Jibreel to support the believers and to fight against the disbelievers. And it was from the very beginning of the battle that there was a sword fight with three people from the people of Quraysh against three people from the Muhajirin. And the three people from the Muhajirin were the close kins of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the believers. So this is something that we've spoken about last week. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the believers His miracles, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. In how many occasions, in how many events, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give a small number of people victory over a bigger number of people, bi-ithnillah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side, there's no way, in any form, in any shape, in any way, they will ever lose. But when you are not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should be concerned. When you are not in obedience to Allah azza wa jal, you should be concerned. When you don't obey and follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should be extremely concerned. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one that encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at the very beginning of the battle, saying to them, by Allah, in which my soul in his hands, anyone that fights them with persistence and perseverance, awaiting the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without retreating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be making the Jannah awaiting them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be making the Jannah awaiting them. So the Jannah will be waiting for them. قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And that was the common statement that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly say to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum on the battlefield, get up for the paradise, that the width of this paradise is as wide as the heavens to the earth. Obviously, these are the Sahaba who are fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return of the paradise. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had always had that full conviction and belief that it's either we die and enter the Jannah or win. What about the option of losing? You never, ever lose when you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never, ever lose when you are with Allah azza wa jal. That's the mindset, that's the conviction of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It's either we die and enter the Jannah as martyrs or we win. Losing is not an option, it's not on the table. Because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no losing. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at the forefront of fighting, including the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not sit on the side just watching the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum fighting and watching the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the battlefield fighting for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protecting himself. But rather the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the forefront of fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and safeguarding the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We mentioned how Iblis, he was from amongst those who came out with the people of Quraysh, encouraging the people of Quraysh to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Iblis saw the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending to support the soldiers of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem. He ran away and he said, "Inni ara ma la taran." I see what you don't see. I see the soldiers of Allah coming down to support the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I see the angels coming down. And he fled the battlefield. And I mentioned the story how he came in a disguise of a man, a strange man from the Bedouins, supporting the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inciting the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Now, we've spoken about this battle, and at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Only 14 from the believers were dead. Only 14. But from amongst the non-believers, 70. And 70 captured, and the rest fled. And the vast majority of the chiefs and the leaders of Quraysh were dead. And I mentioned to you how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a day before the battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went around Badr, where the place of the battle took place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to point at each station saying, "That's where Abu Jahl will die. That's where Umayyah ibn Khalaf will die. That's where Utbah will die. That's where Rabi'ah will die. That's where the leader of the people of Quraysh will die." Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "By Allah, exactly where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed is exactly where they died." This is the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had empowered him with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has strengthened the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human being. A human being like you and I, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him miracles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a foresight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him those mu'jizat to strengthen and empower his prophecy and the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that was saying, "Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, alladhi sadaqa wa'da wa nasara abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that gave victory to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Sahaba, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, "Allahu Akbar, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had fulfilled his promise, the one that had given his servants a victory, and the one that had won the battle and was victorious against the Ahzab on his own." Now, a number of amazing events took place during this expedition, during this battle. From amongst them is the killing of Abu Jahl. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this last time that I mentioned, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam found out that Abu Jahl was killed. Abu Jahl means the father of ignorance. His original nickname was Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around and said, "If you had any wisdom, you'd have accepted Islam, you've embraced Islam. But you're not a man of wisdom, you're a man of ignorance." And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him the father of ignorance. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to refer to Abu Jahl as the Fir'aun of this nation, the Fir'aun of this ummah, referring to Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam and the bad encounters that Musa alayhi salam and other prophets had with Fir'aun. Now, how did Abu Jahl die? There's an amazing story behind that. Who's going to relate this story to us? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is one of the senior companions during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, while I was fighting on a battlefield, I was confronted by two young men. Some narrations say they were 14 and 15 years old. According to the Islamic perspective, they are men because they've reached the age of maturity or puberty. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says, I was confronted by two young men from the believers. One by the name of Mu'adh, and the other one, his name is Ma'wad. Mu'adh and Ma'wad, or Mu'awad. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says, while I was on the battlefield in the Battle of Badr, these two young men confront me, and each one of them talks to me on the side. Doesn't want the other one to find out. Even though those two young men are friends, they're friends, buddies, mates. But for some reason, each one of them was trying to speak to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf on the side. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says, I was confronted by those two young men, and each one of them was talking to me on the side, saying to me, "Oh, Am, or Uncle, where is Abu Jahl? Now Abu Jahl, look, he's the head of the people of Quraysh. You're not going to get someone who is junior asking for someone who says senior from the opposition. Usually someone who's senior asks about someone who's senior, a counterpart. But someone junior, 15 or 14, 15 years old, asking about someone who's so senior in the opposition like Abu Jahl, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was shocked. So each one of them will grab Abdurrahman ibn Auf and ask him on the side, saying to him, "Oh uncle, where's Abu Jahl? Who's Abu Jahl?" Those two young companions are from the people of Ansar, from Medina. They're not from the people of Quraysh. So they don't know who Abu Jahl is. They only heard Abu Jahl. If they were from the people of Muhajirin, if they were from the original residents or those that lived in Mecca, they would have known Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was very prominent and known. He was like the chief head of the people of Quraysh. But those two young men, Mu'adh and Mu'awad, they've never encountered Abu Jahl. They've only heard of Abu Jahl. So when they asked Abdurrahman, each one of them was asking Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf is from the Muhajirin. So he's from the original residents of Mecca. So he knows Abu Jahl very well. He's from the same tribe of Abu Jahl. When those two young men confronted Abdurrahman ibn Auf on the battlefield, asking him, "Where's Abu Jahl?" Abdurrahman straight away asked, "What do you want from him? Like you, someone like yourself, young, junior. Why are you asking about someone like Abu Jahl? Like, what is it in for you?" So each one of them would say, "We heard that Abu Jahl used to insult the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We heard that Abu Jahl used to swear at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And by Allah today, it's either us or him alive." Subhanallah, the love and the jealousy to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. How old were they? 14, 15. Now I just want you to picture someone who's 14, 15 years old right now. Where is he? He's on his PlayStation. Or maybe on, I'm not saying that's bad, but 15, 14 or 15 years old, like, you know, that courage and bravery or care, it's unfortunately, it's not really there. You're talking about 14, 15 years old of young men during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had so much passion, compassion, love and jealousy towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were after Abu Jahl because they heard Abu Jahl used to insult the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because they heard that Abu Jahl used to swear at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's true, Abu Jahl used to insult the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to swear at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. He used to even strike the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this news became widely spread amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, including those from Medina. Abdurrahman was shocked. What do you want from him? He's 14, 15 years old. Abu Jahl is like someone big. He's not like your ordinary. He's a big bloke. He's a big shot amongst the people of Quraysh. What are you asking about him? We heard that this man used to abuse and assault the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By Allah, it's either us or him alive today. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf says, "Subhanallah, I was amazed to see those young men so passionate and jealous over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So he said, "By Allah, suddenly and by coincidence, Abu Jahl just goes past, surrounded by a guard, a group of guards." He's Abu Jahl, he's like the head chief of the people of Quraysh. He's considered to be one of the prominent leaders of the Arabs, not only the people of Quraysh. He said, "While these two young men were talking to me, Abu Jahl just went past on his horse, surrounded by a group of guards." And then he said, "He's the man that you're looking for." Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, "By Allah, they ran." For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, love and care. How old were they again? 14 or 15 years old. So young, 14 or 15 years old. You know, I think about it, 14 or 15 years old these days, what do they do? I'm not saying, wallah, it's bad, but subhanallah, the difference of mindset. So they ran towards Abu Jahl, and they managed to penetrate between their guards, or between his guards that were surrounding his horse. And one of them managed to strike the horse that Abu Jahl was on until Abu Jahl fell underground, and the other one came on Abu Jahl and killed him. Two young men. Why did they do that? Out of their love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not out of love of killing or seeing blood or fighting. Out of the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they ran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam of the good news. to make the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be happy. They came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and said to him, O Messenger of Allah, we killed Abu Jahl for you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, so which one of you struck him? Which one of you hit him? So each one of them took their sword out saying, me, O Messenger of Allah, me, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both of you killed him, just to please both of them. So subhanAllah, the moral of this story is the love and care that these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the jealousy they had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Amongst the amazing events that took place in this expedition is the loyalty that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for Islam. From amongst those who had extreme loyalty to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum is It's Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair, his brother, was amongst the people of Quraysh. He fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was caught as a captive. So he was a non-believer. He fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was caught as a captive. When he was caught as a captive, Mus'ab ibn Umair saw his brother. So his brother started to call upon his brother, saying to him, Oh Mus'ab, I am your brother. Tell your people to be easy on me. So Mus'ab ibn Umar turned around and said, you are not my brother. The one that call you is my brother. This Muslim is my brother. He is my brother. Maybe you are my blood brother, but he is my brother in Islam. Which teaches us in Islam, the brotherhood of Islam surpasses and goes beyond the brotherhood of blood. Yes, your kin, your siblings, your blood relatives, they have rights upon you. But your Muslim brother also has rights upon you. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his aunt's son Abdul Rahman was fighting amongst the believers. He was fighting with the believers against the Muslims. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw his aunt's son. He saw his aunt's son and it was after his aunt's son. He was after his aunt's son and his aunt's son was trying to flee away from his aunt's father. But this did not hold him back from upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his loyalty to Allah and the Messenger of Allah. Ukasha ibn Muhsin was one of the brave warriors who fought with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had a sword. His sword was broken. So he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a stick and he told him, shake it. And it turned into a sword that they later on used to call it al-aun. I know you might think about it. Oh, you know what? This is not the ordinary. Yes, it's not the ordinary, but nothing is hard on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. How many were killed from amongst the believers? 14. 6 from the Muhajirin, 8 from the Ansar. And the Ansar were greater in numbers. They were at least double the numbers of the Muhajirin. From amongst the non-believers, 70 were killed, 70 were captive, 70 were caught and taken as captives. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the battle, the people of Quraysh fled. 70 were killed, 70 were caught, they were taken in as captives, and only 14 from amongst the believers. Where the believers were three times, or the believers were a third of the number of the non-believers. The non-believers, they exceeded the number of the believers by three times. 313 believers against 800 non-believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum victory against an enemy that exceeded them three times. How many were killed from amongst the believers? Only 14. From the non-believers, 70 were killed and 70 were captives. From amongst the believers, no one was a captive. Now after the battle was over and the non-believers fled, the people of Quraysh couldn't resist anymore. They couldn't withstand anymore. That's it, they fled. They went back to Mecca as losers. They went back to Mecca as big losers. They thought they're going to come and crush Islam and crush the Muslims and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are bigger in numbers. We have more experience. We have more weapons. We are a lot more prepared. And yes, they were bigger in numbers. They were a lot more prepared. They were a lot more experienced. They had more weapons. But on the other side, they had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in how many cases a small number of people will defeat a great number of people by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Victory only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after The non-believers fled the battlefield, and the believers, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala had dominated the battlefield as victorious. Now obviously now you have the advantage. What do you do with your dead? What do you do with the martyrs? What do you do with the dead bodies of the non-believers? What do you do with the captives? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously buried the believers, 14 of them. True believers who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried on the battlefield. But the 70 in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cast their corpses in the well of Badr. 70 of them. No burial. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just cast it there. Or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cast their bodies in the well of Badr. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cast their bodies in the well of Badr, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to speak to the dead bodies of the non-believers. So he buried the 14 believers, and the martyrs, inshallah, straight to the Jannah. But then you've got the 70 non-believers that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered their dead bodies, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cast them through them in the well of Badr. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You were the worst of people to your prophet. You denied him when he spoke the truth. You let him down when he needed help. And you exiled him when you should have taken him in and accommodated him." Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he started to speak to the dead bodies and called them name by name to those that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew of. Or Abu Jahl, or Utbah, or Umayyah, or this, or that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Did you find what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised you? Because we found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised us." What did Allah promise them? Hellfire. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Victory and paradise. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam start to call upon the dead bodies of the people of Quraysh. "Did you find what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised you? Because we found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, "It would have been a lot more easier and better off for you that you followed the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. If you followed me, you would have been from amongst the victorious people, respectful people, honorable people, happy and successful people. But you decided to fight against and oppose the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Look at your ending. Not only losers, but dead and hellfire." When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing the dead bodies of the non-believers, one of the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, turned around and said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you're speaking to the dead. You are speaking to the dead." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied back and said, "By Allah," in which the soul of Muhammad in his hands, "by Allah, they could hear better than you, but they just can't reply. They could hear better than you, but they can't reply." Which is a general proof and evidence that the dead can hear, regardless who the dead is, they can hear. When you stand in front of that grave and you're talking, they can hear, but they can't reply. And if they do reply, I don't think you're going to take that well. They could hear, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, they could hear, but they can't reply. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathers the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to return back to Medina victorious against who? Against Quraysh. What do you talk about Quraysh? Quraysh is a respectful tribe amongst all the Arabs. Yes, they weren't the biggest tribe, but they were the most respectful tribe. They were the custodians of the Kaaba, Mecca. The people of Quraysh were considered to be the leaders and the chiefs of all the Arabs. Even though their numbers wasn't the biggest of numbers, but they had the biggest respect and they had a lot of allies. Now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who just established a state less than a year and a half ago, he demolished and he won a war against the people of Quraysh. Now obviously, the people of Medina are waiting for an answer to see who won and who lost. And the people of Quraysh obviously are also waiting for an answer to see who won and lost. Now, the people of Quraysh who fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the battlefield, they managed to flee. They fled. They went back to Mecca with bad news. And the believers returned back to Medina with good news. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this victory. And he said, "Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqa wa'da wa nasara abda wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda." I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that had fulfilled his promise to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and had given victory to his servants, to Muhammad and his followers, and the one that destroyed the confederators or the allies on his own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. Now the believers are looking forward to hearing the good news. In particular, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Medina, he didn't leave with the intention of fighting against the people of Quraysh. Remember what intention Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Medina for? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Medina with the intention of raiding a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh. Then it eventuated to a battle. So the people of Medina were concerned. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Medina to go and fight against the people of Quraysh unprepared, because that wasn't the intention. But then, alhamdulillah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, returned back to Medina with a beautiful smile on their face. And alhamdulillah, glad tidings to the servants of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given victory to the Prophet of Allah and the followers of the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this empowered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and boosted the reputation, the credibility of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina and outside Medina, for the news to start spreading out and spreading around that Muhammad won the war against the people of Quraysh. Obviously, that boosted the morale of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and it also boosted the reputation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a very strong position in the Arabian Peninsula, where Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who just newly established an Islamic state less than a year and a half ago, managed to crush and destroy a very respectful, powerful army, and that's the people of Quraysh. So that worked in the favor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And it also resented the munafiqeen. Remember what we mentioned? That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam had a new challenge in Medina, and that was munafiqeen, those that showed from the outside they were Muslims and believers, but deep inside they concealed their hate and they concealed their hatred and their animosity against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But after the battle of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in a very strong position now. He won the war. Usually when you win the war, the leader becomes the hero. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a hero, with the war or without it. But this gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a strong credibility, and it gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a strong position. Unfortunately, upon the return of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his daughter Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. His daughter Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. And Ruqayya was married to who? To Uthman bin Affan. Ruqayya, his daughter, was married to Uthman bin Affan. So upon the return of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his daughter passed away, and that's why Uthman bin Affan did not participate in this expedition. Uthman bin Affan wasn't in the Battle of Badr. He missed out because he was taking care of his wife, who's the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ruqayya. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned back and Ruqayya passed away. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam married off his other daughter, Kulthum, to Uthman. And when Kulthum passed away, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, if I've got a third daughter, I'll marry off to Uthman. And that's why one of the nicknames of Uthman was the man of the two great lights. The man of the two great lights. What two great lights? Referring to the two daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya and Kulthum. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns back to Medina. And now he returns back to Medina. Yes, he lost 14 people, but he's dragging with him how many? 70 captives. 70 captives. These are the captives, prisoners of war, captives of war from the people of Quraysh that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam drags back with him to Medina. Now, this is the first time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum encounter captives. They've never had captives in the past. They went into smaller battles and expeditions, but they've never returned back with captives. This time they are returning back with 70 captives. 70 non-believing captives. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, as a prophet, the messenger of Allah, he didn't even know what to do with them exactly. Should we ransom them, free them, enslave them, kill them, imprison them? What do we exactly do? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat down with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And while the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam sitting down with the Sahaba, he's consulting the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. O Muhammad, consult. Consult your Sahaba. Seek their advice. And he's the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. He's the one that receives a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to lead. And a leader is the one that consults his people. So, oh Muhammad, consult your people, even though you get revelation from Allah. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to you, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to you, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you revelation. But you need to consult your people. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Holy Quran and commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, consult your people. Counsel your people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam got together and met with the senior companions. He had senior companions. He had a lot of companions, but amongst them there were the senior companions. Abu Bakr, Umar and other companions. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked each one of them, what do you think? One of them said, O Messenger of Allah, we ransom them. The other one said, we kill them. The other one said, we imprison them. The other one said, we enslave them. Amongst those that said, O Messenger of Allah, free them. They are our families, our kins. Abu Bakr. He didn't say that out of weakness. He said that out of mercy. Ya Rasulullah, they are family, kins, relatives. Ya Allah, for the sake of Allah, free them. When he came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, I suggest that we find out every Muslim who has a non-Muslim captive and get his own relative to kill him. Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to go to the far end. Not only kill them, but get them to be executed by their own relatives. But subhanAllah, the beautiful thing about it, the dialogue amongst the Sahaba. Like one went, I don't want to call it extreme, but one went one way, the other one went the other way. Maybe the two extremes. But they never looked at each other and said, oh, look at him, he's weak. He doesn't care. People are entitled to their opinions, even if it's a different opinion to the other. I'm sure Umar al-Khattab didn't think of Abu Bakr, oh, look at this guy, he's weak. Or Abu Bakr looked at Umar al-Khattab, oh, this guy, he doesn't even know who he's talking about. And Nabi Sassim used to sit down in a consultative forum amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and seek their advice. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to ransom them, which again is the rahmah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to ransom them, which means each non-Muslim captive to be ransomed by his family. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam set an amount. And those that couldn't pay off the ransom, if they knew how to write, if they were literate, to teach 10 of the companions, in particular their kids, teach them how to read and write, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would free them. It shows you the mindset of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't about killing. And jihad is not about killing. Jihad is about upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upholding justice. Not wallahi to go and start seeing people dead and killed, as some people just look at it, I just want to go and die for the sake of Allah. No, it's not just going and dying for the sake of Allah. It's about upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And jihad is one mean. It's not all the means, as some people just get stuck with one mean. Alhamdulillah, being nice and respectful and giving da'wah on the street, that's a form of jihad. Taking care of your neighbors, even if they are non-Muslims, that's a form of jihad. Showing the best morals and ethics of Islam in a non-Muslim country like the country that we live in, that's a form of jihad. Being the best citizen, Australian citizen, that's a form of jihad. So jihad is not just people fighting on a battlefield. That's one part of jihad. But everything that you do in upholding justice and doing the right thing, that's a form of jihad. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went ahead to ransom for the non-believers, their families, to ransom their relatives and their kins who are captives in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And those that don't have money, if they know how to read and write, for them to teach 10 of the young companions or the children companions how to read and write. But it shows you the vision of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to spread education, to educate the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Amongst those that was held captive in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the son-in-law of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, married to the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Zainab. Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she's the eldest daughter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, her husband Abu al-As was a non-believer. That's the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he came and fought with the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was held captive in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba. When the news reached to the people of Quraysh and to the family of the captives, including Zainab, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was a believer, a follower of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, she sent a necklace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to the Sahaba radiallahu, to the Muslims, to ransom her husband, Abu al-As, who was a non-believer held captive in the hands of the Muslims. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the necklace, he recognized it. Why? Because it was the necklace of the mother of Zainab, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khadija. Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was moved to see the necklace of his wife, of his deceased or late wife, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is the necklace that was passed on from his wife to his daughter, Zainab. And Zainab is sending that necklace to ransom her husband, who's a non-believer that came and fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was moved. But at the end of the day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed to be fair. I can't favor one person over another or discriminate over one person over the other. Free my son-in-law and, you know, just because he's my son-in-law and other people have the Aan brothers, they have the Aan family members who are captives and they're not going to be freed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is a necklace. He told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is a necklace that was sent by my daughter Zainab to ransom her husband. If you allow me to accept this necklace and ransom her husband, I will. Otherwise, you could keep him here. You decide. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was conscious. He didn't want to favor anyone. And it is, if you want to look at it as a conflict of interest, it is a conflict of interest for him to make the decision over the husband of his daughter or his son-in-law. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, you decide what you want to do with my son-in-law. So they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, we accept whatever you accept. If you want to take the necklace as a ransom and free him and let him go back to your daughter, do so. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so, but under one condition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu al-As, I'll free you because your daughter, your wife, which is my daughter, your wife Zainab, sent this necklace as a ransom to free you, but under one condition. If I let you go, you free my daughter and you let her come to Medina. That's my condition. You want to go? We free you. Go back to Mecca. Go back to your people. But my daughter comes and joins me. So he agreed. He agreed. Look, subhanAllah, the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, don't look at it in no, don't look at it that you only have it tough. This is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. He had it tougher. This is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, his own son-in-laws, his own family. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struggled with them and had challenges with them. This Abu al-As, his own son-in-law, not only he's a disbeliever, he's married to his daughter, he even came and fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stuck in this sticky and tricky situation where his own daughter wants to ransom her husband and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stuck. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the Sahaba. He freed him under the condition that he allows his wife Zainab, who's the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to join the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. And he fulfilled that promise. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed him. He went back to Quraysh, he went back to Mecca, Abu al-As, and he gave the consent to his wife, that's the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad Zainab, to go and join her father. It was only months after that, that Abu al-As also went back to Medina to become a Muslim and be a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, at the end of the day, he won. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won, Abu al-As won, Zainab won, and the entire Ummah won. But if you want to be hard and hard-headed and not my way, kafir, disbeliever, Jahannam bisl masir, and go and die and rot, who won? But it shows you the rahmah and the mercy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this event in the Quran Kareem. وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تخافون أن يتخطفكم الناس فآواكم وأيدكم بنصره ورزقكم من الطيبات لعلكم تشكرون. And remember when you were small, minority, weak on the face of this earth, you were afraid from your enemies, you were afraid people to attack you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embraced you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accommodated you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also razaqakum min at-tayyibat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his provision and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided to you from the best of tayyibat. From amongst the best of tayyibat, or from the great provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, is the booty. What's the booty? The booty is what's left when the enemy flees, when the enemy leaves the battlefield. They leave behind weapons, swords, shields, animals, like, you know, the horses, the ride. Some of them leave behind clothing, leave behind assets, leave behind values. This is what you call booty. Now, obviously, we're talking about primitive things during their time. This is what we call in Arabic, anfal or ghanima, a booty. The spoils of war is what the enemy leaves behind on a battlefield that becomes a belonging to the victorious party. Now, this is the first time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encounters this huge, big, massive spoil, this big, massive booty that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba never had that in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was revealed to him how to divide the booty. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I'm the only prophet and messenger of Allah, and my nation, we're the only ones allowed to utilize and use the booty. In the past, all the previous prophets and messengers were not allowed to use the spoils and the booty. They had to put it and gather it. They used to compile it or pile it up in the middle of the desert, and a fire used to come from the heaven and used to just destroy it. Previous nations, previous prophets and messengers were not allowed to use the spoils and the booty. But for the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I'm the only prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us to use the spoils and the booty. How do you divide the spoils and the booty? 80% goes to the mujahideen and the fighters, and 20% goes back to the treasury, in which will be divided into 5/5 different categories, including the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get that. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to get 4% from the spoils in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to live off, and he's to make his family live off, and majority of that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to give it back to the believers. So 80% is to go to the fighters. And that's why jihad to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the believers was also a form of income. You leave Medina or you leave your hometown poor, you come back rich if you are victorious. So that was the mindset that they had. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was victorious at that. Now the people of Quraysh were devastated. The people of Quraysh were devastated. They lost the battle against someone they thought they would be crushing easily and swiftly. And the news now spreads amongst the people of Quraysh, in which they were in grief. They were in grief for over a year, over their dead. And who are their dead? The vast majority of their leaders. So the people of Quraysh, after having their hierarchies and their chiefs, the vast majority of them are dead. So who became the most prominent leader amongst the people of Quraysh? Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab. Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab. Abu Jahl was killed. So who became the main leaders of the people of Quraysh? Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was only weeks after the Battle of Badr, he passed away. And then Abu Sufyan became the main leader of the people of Quraysh. One event that took place is one of the people of Quraysh, he was devastated. This man, his name is Umair ibn Wahab. Umair ibn Wahab, his son was held captive in the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. And he didn't have money to ransom them. So he went and sat down with another person from the people of Quraysh. His name is Safwan ibn Umayyah. Both of them on their own. No one else. Both of them on their own. Next to the Kaaba. Were sitting down and talking, discussing. So Umair ibn Wahab turns around to Safwan and says, by Allah, if I had enough money and my kids were secured, I would have gone right now to Muhammad and killed him. So Safwan heard that and he said, you know what? You want me to ransom your son? I'll ransom your son. And your children are like my children. Go and fulfill your promise. If that's what you are saying, but you are worried about your captive son and your children in your care, I'll take care of your children as if my own. As if they are my own. And your son, I ransom him. But you go and fulfill your promise. Go and kill Muhammad. So Umair ibn Wahab, he said, you give me your commitment, I'll give you my commitment. Safwan said, I'll give you my commitment. So Umair ibn Wahab got himself ready, prepared, took his sword And some narrations say he shoved it and filled it up with poison. And he traveled from Mecca to Medina. He went to Mecca for what reason? To go and kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's his plan. Upon his arrival to Medina, he enters the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the gathering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Umar ibn Khattab from far, he saw him and looked at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "This dog only came for an evil intent." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problems, let him in." So Umair ibn Wahab, who came and traveled all the way from Mecca to Medina with the intention of assassinating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and killing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him. And Umair enters and he says, "Un'imtum sabaha," which is like similar to what we say, good morning. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Allah had replaced us with a better greeting, "Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah." And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "O Umair, what brings you here?" So Umair said, "O Messenger of Allah, O Muhammad, I came here because to ransom my son. My son is captive in your hands, and I came here to ransom him." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "You're a liar. You sat down with Safwan on your own, and you were discussing, saying, if it wasn't for your captive son and your children, you'd have come to kill me." So Safwan made the commitment, and he said, "I'll ransom your son. I'll take care of your kids, like my own kids, and that's why you came here to kill me." Umair said, "Wallahi by Allah, no one knew of this conversation except me and Safwan. Wallahi, we used to say you're a liar, but today you're a prophet and messenger of Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah." Of course, who informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah! Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam what Umair and Safwan were planning and plotting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he became a Muslim. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, "Embrace your brother and teach him the deen and show him the salah and teach him the Quran. And you know what? On the top of all this, because of him becoming Muslim, free his son for the sake of Allah." Free his son. We don't want. Islam is more important. We don't need the money. We don't need the ransom. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So this man, he came with that intention. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his Islam. So teach him, embrace him, take care of him, teach him the Quran, teach him how to pray. On the top of all this, free his son. Subhanallah. It shows you the morals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that, we come to an end with this great expedition, the Battle of Uhud. But the Battle of Badr was the reason of the Battle of Uhud that we'll be talking about next week, inshallah, where the people of Quraysh want to come back and hit back at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in retaliation. So inshallah, we'll leave that to next week. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallah hamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.